awesome.
So I haven't pooped solid in the last 48 hours.
Oh, because you have your colonoscopy coming up? Because you're an old man?
I wish, dude. I don't know what's going on, but it is... I'm on... I've got the FOFS right now. You know what FOFS? The FOFS are? It's a fear of farting syndrome.
Oh.
And
okay.
I have... Have I talked about my theory on how to rate someone's risk aversion on here before?
Like how much... How comfortable they are gambling and fart?
Yeah. I don't know if I've talked about it.
I haven't heard
but,
of it.
But, like, you know, a normal person, which I don't really know what a normal person is probably like a, you know, a 90-10. Like, they're like...
Are you saying they say to themselves, I will not fart unless I'm 90% confident I won't shit my pants.
Yeah.
I think an average person is 99.
Yeah. So
I don't think the majority of people are willing to gamble with a 1 in 10 chance.
I don't know, dude. So
I don't think I gamble with a 1 in 10.
Really?
I really don't think I do.
I'm constantly rocking the 60-40 in my life, dude, probably.
I think you need to go to a doctor. Like, if
not meaning, not meaning that is the chances, just being like, I'll risk it. Like a 60-40
risk. How many
times
have you shit your pants from farting?
In the last 48 hours, I haven't, which is nice.
No, I'm just saying, how many times?
I mean, a lot.
Then how can you, what is the reference for?
I don't know,
what?
Like, you know, like once a year?
You...
And also, like...
You shit your pants from a fart gamble once a year, dude?
Also, here's the deal. The gamble ratio also changes depending on, like...
Someone tell him.
Like, are you sitting in, like, a waiting room about to go into an interview? Okay, the ratio goes way up, you know, 99. You know, like, we're not risking, right? But, like, if you're on your recliner at home...
If I'm stuck under someone's house...
You're watching the second movie on a Saturday, and you're just sitting around in your sweatpants. You're going to kind of like the risk ratio changes for everybody, I think.
How many times have you shit your pants while sitting on furniture?
I don't know.
I don't want to go sit on anything you've ever sat on.
I don't think I have.
Okay, all right, good. I guess the toilet is furniture, but your pants aren't usually on.
Right.
Okay. Right.
I did.
Is a toilet of furniture?
I did actually 2 weeks ago in my car.
You shit your pants in your car.
It was whole, yeah. So luckily I wear some thick Carhartts, which was great. But so I immediately had to call my brother-in-law. I had to tell somebody.
Yeah.
You know.
He can't help you though.
No, but he had to know. He had to know. And so anyways, that's where I'm at right now at the moment. So I'm currently rocking. I'm at a 590, you know, like the percentage chance.
Like any fart could be a shit.
Oh, yeah. Like,
what's the other five? A 590?
Yeah.
What's the other five?
I guess 595. Sorry, 595. But now, you know, like.
A five, I've already shit. Like,
the other day I was.
The other 5%, I already shit.
Dude, and the other. that could be the case in my current state. And, you know, hey, love to hear from you people out there. This is the Making Pat Show. You're welcome to go to our website, click the voicemail button, and let us know. How often does it happen to you? Or what's your risk? What's your risk ratio? What risk ratio are you rocking?
Yeah.
And in what situations are you just willing to, you know, go for the big risk?
I think the only time I, like, just let it ride is if I'm on the toilet.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm, like,
okay, I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Yeah,
but
if I'm in the shower, I'm like, ooh. There's a 20% chance or higher I'm going to shit myself when I let this fart out.
Mm-hmm.
I just get out and I get out of the toilet. Like, you know, I can't think of any time I'm just like, I can't think of any time where like, that could be a 10% chance there. And I just let it go, dude. Anyways, hey, yeah. Ken out there, we appreciate listening. Your Ken, you know, if you've been subscribed and liked and comment and been a supporter of the show for a long time, we see you as family. So, and if you are new here, we ask that you do subscribe. If you like what you're hearing, leave a comment. Tell us, you know, if things suck, let us know. We can improve. And yeah, like or dislike on things and leave a review, rating of stars and such on the various podcast apps. So that way we know how we're doing. And honestly, you know, I try to remind everyone of this metric now that after I learned it, but 1,000 listens, 1,000 downloads on podcast platforms is equivalent to 1 million views on YouTube when it comes to metrics and impact. So if you can, listen to us on a podcast platform. If you prefer YouTube, that's totally fine. We're happy you're listening there. But definitely give a subscribe and like. But anyways, getting into the show today. Got some things for you. Just to give you a flyover what we'll be going over. We got the terrorist attack at Moscow's Korkus City Hall that we'll be going into and kind of breaking down. A lot of stuff in the U.S. revolving around squatters and some weird tangential stories. It's pretty crazy. Some pretty crazy stuff going on. Yeah. And then this last week, there was a video that came out of some illegal immigrants overwhelming the Texas National Guard at the border and then running up. And then I guess it was Border Patrol that closed the gates to keep them from getting any further. But all that said, just some more border stuff going on. But to get started, I want to make a shout out here. But Pat, what'd you think of the ghost hood stuff I sent you this week? You know, Billie Jean and I just went to the park. Uh-huh. And I was just testing out my ghost hood poncho that I got. Ghost hood makes like military level camouflage. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really good. Mm-hmm. And any time I hid from Billie Jean, she could not see me. And so I'm just wondering, what are your thoughts from like the pictures and stuff that you saw? Like,
yeah, because the first picture you sent me was of nothing. It was just of a grass park and some trees. Trees were about 15 feet away. You know,
I'm in that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, right. So the first picture you sent me was of nothing. And I'm like, what the hell is this picture? Like, no caption, no explanation. I'm like, what am I looking at? Right. Mm-hmm. And then you sent me another picture. And then the third and another picture of nothing.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell is it? Like, he's just sending me pictures of his walk in like a.
Well, I was just trying to be sweet. I was just trying to let you know. I was like,
what's going on? Like, is he being is he like snapping pictures of his like location? So the next picture comes in, and it's just a picture of you, like of a guy running off in a camo poncho. And I was like, oh,
he's calves out.
Yeah,
like calves out. And sneakers.
Oh yeah,
that was the other thing. Is like, I was able to hide that well.
Uh huh.
By tucking up my calves, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have the lower half on.
And so then I was like, oh, so I went back into the pictures and found you in there. And I could see you once I knew and I looked. But if I hadn't known, like, that camo, I would have not been able to find it. I do love the fact that you were Billie Jean's a saint for taking pictures of her husband while out like trying out their camouflage. I thought it was awesome and hilarious.
Yeah, she was I took it off because she's like, people are starting to act weird, and I was like, all right, I'll take it off. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to ruin our fun. Bro, you know what's funny? I heard something funny from Billie Jean.
Really?
Yeah, you know, our wives hang out.
Oh, no.
Our wives talk.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I've been asking Billie Jean, saying, hey, you know, honey, it'd be fun if we went and did like, you know, we went and did a course of fire together, like doing a class for shooting and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or we could go do something not as intense or intimidating for you and go do like a, you know, we could do an outdoor education class on like what you can eat out in the outdoors or outdoor medicine and survival. And just stuff like that, because I want her to feel prepared and capable if anything ever happened to me, or if something happened to her and I just wasn't able to get there, you know, something as small as like a car accident.
Right.
You know, she just feels like she has the skills medically and situationally to be okay.
Right.
And, you know, and I've told her things of like how I think the world is going to be a harder place in the next coming years.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily that I think the world is ending, but there is a chance that like things don't go over smoothly come the 2024 election.
Mm-hmm.
And things don't go over as smoothly when we have a flood of homeless immigrants and people upset about it. And just to like be we should consider these things. And, you know, not too long ago, I had a run through like, okay, get the shotgun down from where it is in our home and learning how to rack it and aim it and understand how to like turn the safety off if she needed to use it. Mm-hmm. And she has discussed these things with Mace Windu.
Yeah.
And I think with Rice Aroni's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they both have just mentioned something that I just thought was absolutely just horse shit. They said, oh, you know, I just don't know if I could handle it if Pat was like that. You know, I don't know if I could handle it if that's what? How Pat felt, or, you know, I'm just happy he doesn't like feel like the world's going to end and stuff like that. And Rice Aroni's wife said something similar, right? And I'm like, oh, what? And Billie Jean was like, yeah, I was kind of like, didn't Rice Aroni just send Mick a kissy winky face sticky note on a bunch of medical supplies that like he just tactically acquired? Didn't he, you know, aren't these guys also preparing for this stuff? And I was like, well, if they are, and they're not telling their wives about it, and I'm absolutely astonished.
This stuff's expensive to acquire, bro.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is I thought that was horse shit, and that your wives think that you guys aren't into the mindset of preparedness as well. Because I would argue,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would make a case with 90% confidence.
Mm-hmm.
That of the three of us, yeah. Rice Aroni might be the most prepared.
Yeah, more confident than I am in my current ability to let a fart rip. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. And so, anyways, I just thought that was funny. You should know that. And
I have to ask her about that. That's
yeah.
Huh. Well, very interesting. Very interesting, because we do share very similar, not all the same, but pretty similar. Values around being ready for stuff.
Yeah.
Whether or not it happens.
Yeah.
Just being ready. Right. So, anyways, that's pretty interesting. Cause
I would actually argue, I think all of us, for people who don't know, Rice Aroni is just a friend and we want to protect his confidentiality. But I would argue that all of us actually have the same values around preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
I just think some of us are more comfortable with extreme methods than others. Like, some of us are a little bit more like confident in the skills and how to use them than others.
Camouflage park dates.
Oh, I wasn't even referring to myself.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that.
But yeah, I don't see. I honestly, like, when I brought it up, I was like, hey, let's go test this out. And her hesitancy of like,
mm-hmm.
you don't think people will freak out that you're running around in camouflage? I was like, no, because they'll see my bottom half.
Yeah.
Is Patagonia shorts,
mm-hmm.
calf high socks, and slip ons from right. Target. Like, so I think it'll totally disarm them of like, why is that guy in camo? In a ghillie suit, right?
It's so nice that lady takes that guy on walks.
Bro, dude, there was, yeah, honestly, I bet that is how they felt. There was one chick, though, who was like, like, and I be like, the most, like, stop what you're doing because it's bothering me,
mm-hmm.
like kind of Karen thing, right? Yeah. Of just like, so what's really the reason you need camo at the park? And I was like, oh my gosh. So I honestly told her the truth, is yeah. that I wanted to test it out and see if it worked,
mm-hmm.
because Ghosthood
mm-hmm.
is made over in good old Germany or Belgium, I think Germany though, and they need more vendors in the U.S. And honestly, I want to test it with you and stuff because I think it'd be cool if we were a vendor and, you know, could just ship out from here to people who wanted it and stuff.
That's true.
But I thought it was awesome, dude.
Yeah.
I'm buying more.
Oh, hey, I think it's great.
I'm buying a lot more. The only concern I have is that, like, I might, like, if we went out duck hunting or something mm-hmm. and I was in it, mm-hmm. is that you guys would forget I was there.
Oh, my
God. And, like, get spooked. Yeah.
It's like a prepper snuggie.
It was crazy, it's great. Bro.
That's awesome. No, that's funny. Because also, is that the one that's also, it's supposed to be extra special magic for thermal?
Not thermal, but infrared.
Infrared.
The right. thermal one I haven't tried yet.
Right, for night vision. Yes, not thermal, but night vision. Yeah, so interesting. Ghosthood. Check them out. Soon to be sold from the Making Pat World headquarters.
We've got
room around here for them.
Mm-hmm.
Cool mm-hmm. boxes of them. Not a bad idea.
Smoke break.
Smoke break.
Hey, Ken, it's Mick, and I've got something important to talk about. We all hope we never find ourselves in a self-defense situation, but life's unpredictable. Enter the National Self-Protection Plan from Attorneys on Retainer, an actual credible law firm you can put on retainer for your self-defense needs. For just $35 a month, you get national coverage in all 50 states for criminal and civil legal representation in self-defense situations, complete with a 24/7, 365 toll-free emergency line. That's real legal support when you need it most. What's in the package? Bail bonds, scene cleanup, firearm replacement, even mental health counseling. Plus, zero fees for a laundry list of defense-related costs like expert witnesses. So support the show and get yourself some peace of mind. Click the link in our show notes or visit our sponsors page to sign up for the National Self-Protection Plan from Attorneys on Retainer.
Hey folks, Pat here. If you're like Mick and I, you're a fan of classic tales like Lonesome Dove, Blood Meridian, The Three-Body Problem, and Steinbeck's East of Eden. With Audible, you can dive into these epic stories anytime, anywhere. Sign up for a free month, and your first audiobook is on the house. To start your free trial and support our show, click the link in the show notes or swing by the sponsors page on our website.
Want an awesome website for your podcast? Check out PodPage. We use it for the Mick and Pat Show, and it's a game changer. Set it up in minutes, no coding needed. Support the show by using our link to get started. Your podcast deserves a home as great as ours. PodPage, the one-stop solution. All right, just threw in my zinners. Let's talk about the terrorist attack in Moscow's Korka City Hall. So I don't know when you saw this, but I saw it just a couple days ago on a very late night Reddit post. And I didn't believe it at first.
Right.
Like, I legit didn't believe it at first because the footage I saw was the top of this city hall building on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, holy smokes, that looks like a very well-built, developed part of Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going on there?
Right.
And then when they were like the rumors of one, like I was like, okay, maybe it really was one very dedicated like mass shooter trying to like, you know, get people up and then like light a bomb off on their roof or something.
Right.
But then when I was like reading, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a really coordinated terrorist cell attack.
Right.
You know, and it found out, you know, it's five gunmen that went into the Korka City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
They killed 145 people, according to the Russian Ministry of Health, and injured another 100. And I'm not even sure what was going in the city hall. Like, I don't think it was a concert venue. I mean, there is a concert venue there, but I don't think there was a concert going on. It seems like it was just kind of like people coming in for a public appearance of something, like a debate or a city hall.
It was actually for a music group.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, it was like a Russian pop group or something. I remember briefly reading that. Yeah,
the footage showed that like there was no one on stage playing any music or anything.
Right. I think it was before, you know, it was like people like getting into their seats, settling in, filling up, and I think there was supposed to be a music group playing.
Gotcha. I'm going off of two, you know, things might not be entirely accurate here as more stuff comes out, but according to that Ministry of Health and people from Russia and people on Reddit and then some articles, one of the gunmen was killed there and the other four fled. They threw out their automatic weapons, whatever they were. I'm not exactly sure what they were. But they tossed them out of the car while they're trying to get across into the border of Ukraine. Well, they were heading towards it. They hadn't reached the border, right? But
looked like AK platforms in the videos.
It was hard for me to tell on my phone with the footage. It's crazy because, you know, we were just talking about gun control, the fear of a terrorist attack, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in Russia, bro, you can go to jail, like Russian gulag, for having 7.62-39 one round. Like, if they catch you with one round on your person,
yeah, they're not messing around. Yeah.
And it's like, there's a whole market too for like non-lethal pistols in Russia.
Really?
And certain parts of Russia have been debating, and like, there's a certain policy that might get passed of allowing people to have handguns to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not allowed to have it on their person in a public place. They're just allowed to have it at home. But I just thought that was pretty crazy with like, you know, timing wise with what we were talking about, like the concerns of a terror attack here in the US. Apparently all five, according to Putin's you know, briefing. I watched his briefing when he was talking about it. All five were from Tajikistan and were part of the ISIS-K terror cell, which I think ISIS-K is just a cell of ISIS itself. And ISIS, you know, took responsibility for it. And he referred to them as non-citizens. So I don't know the whole immigration stuff with Russia. I don't know what their policy is. I'm sure there's stuff like where, you know, you can travel and go into Russia with, you know, certain visas or passports, and you're not considered an illegal immigrant. You're not considered, you know, like you could be traveling, passing through, right? Right. So I'm not sure, like, these guys are technically illegal immigrants or anything like that, but he specifically said they're non-citizens of Russia. And then they got caught, and bro, that's a place you don't want to get caught. Like, like, the torture in the U.S., don't get me wrong, there's all that media and, like, you know, stuff that's come out about, like, how we've gotten information from people. But, like, dude, they cut this dude's ear off in what looked like a, I don't know, it kind of looked like a motorhome where they caught them. And they just are, they beat the snot out of these guys to get their confessions and tell them what was going on and, like, where they threw the guns out at. And, yeah, so they've gotten quite a bit of information out of them. I don't know, Pat, if you got any more that you can divulge on it.
Yeah, the so first of all, backing up a little, because you said it was 140-something people.
Yeah, I've seen that's killed. That's what I saw from the Ministry of Health's report. And I've seen it like 135, 139. So I'm not exactly sure on that number.
Yeah, so just like some reference for us would be like largest mass shooting in American history is, at least modern history, is, you know, the Las Vegas Music Festival, which was 60 people. Now, there was a lot of people, a lot of people injured in that, 850. But, you know, the next highest from there was 49 in the Pulse club shooting. And then next above that was Virginia Tech back in 2007, 32 people killed. So not to degrade or belittle any individual life, but the magnitude of the loss of life in this attack is, you know, is pretty large, you know. And so these guys are in deep caca, as they should be, but also they are going to be, I'll tell you what, if this happened in America, these guys would be getting treated a lot different, because these pictures, I mean, these, I've got a, did you see the picture of all four of them?
Yeah,
post,
all four of them,
you know,
have
their arrests.
Their face is unrecognizable from being punched.
There's videos of them getting arrested with normal shaped faces. And then there's like 3 hours later, pictures of them like mugshot status with very different faces.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them missing ears, you know. And so the Russia, Kazakhstan, you said it was Kazakhstan?
Tajikistan.
Tajikistan. Different world than we live in. And the, you know, as far as other information on this, I don't think a lot more has come out. I don't know if a lot more information will come out because the flow of news in a place like Russia is a little different than here. And I think that these guys will just kind of start to disappear off. And, you know, so ISIS-K has made claim of the attack. And I think it's been kind of confirmed. That being said, it's always hard to know with terrorist attacks, you know, who is really behind what and who did it. But ISIS and terrorist groups like to make claim of attacks, but all the sources are leading to it being ISIS-K right now. And there was, you know, a way that terrorist cells work so that they can function without being caught and without and for many different reasons of how they get controlled is basically you have, you know, little splinter cells, a group of guys, 2 to 6 people typically max, that are
they're like operating independently
in their own little group, and they just get information from 1 or 2 sources that tell them when to do what, where to do what, how to do what, here's where the money is, here's where the gear is. And so and that's pretty standard protocol for terrorist splinter groups for years and years and years, especially Islamist groups. they keep a really hyper decentralized command. You know, it really is centralized command because of the fact that these other guys can't necessarily make choices for themselves. But during one of the interrogation videos, you know, we see that as evidence where they're asking him about questions, and he's really kind of like, I think, and you know, people are a lot can lie, but seeming to me like he's telling the truth as far mm-hmm. as saying, I don't know who told us to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, he just gives us a call, told us this much money. This is what to do, you know, that sort of thing. And so,
yeah. And the money too is like not life changing.
No,
it was like 1 million rubles, which is about 10,000, 11,000 US dollars.
Right.
So it's like, they're not having to shell out tons of money to get people to do these attacks.
Right. Right. And so the, we'll see if, you know, it'd be interesting if more things come out around, the, you know, were these guys really radicals or were they guns for hire type, you know, if any of that information comes out. Because, you know, one thing that I think is interesting in this is that there weren't any that we know of, like plans for suicide vests, that sort of thing, things like that. And their attack, while they looked like amateurs in some aspects of while you watch the video, they also were very coordinated with weaponry and gear and kits on and everything too. So they weren't, it wasn't just a truck running through a wall with loaded with fertilizer type of thing. So yeah. So it was a different, very much was a different type of attack than we're probably used to seeing anywhere in the world, where it was coordinated, planned, and there hasn't been a lot of information that I've been able to find on the actual fire or bombing, or I think they just caught the curtains on fire and burned the place down. Because it didn't seem like there was much of an explosion or like death from explosion. I don't know. And I haven't seen a lot of information on that for the concert hall with the fire.
Yeah, I did see like some stuff talking about there were bombs, but I haven't seen any footage or anything coming out from like actual detonation of anything. But it's just something that I think like as an American, I want people to like know about it, because like we're not used to a terror attack like that. For a long time, you know, we haven't had something like that in a long, long time mm-hmm. of like a coordinated group effort, you know, a coordinated group of individuals. Last time we saw that was 9/11.
Right.
And we need to be real with ourselves here in that like the vulnerability of so many people coming over the border and undocumented, you know, there's a good chance that there are, malicious people planning on doing something like that here. Mm-hmm. And it's good to be aware and prepared and, you know, consider your surroundings and, you know, kind of have a plan. You know, if anything, just be aware of your exits, so that way you know what to do. I mean, I remember seeing that footage from inside the concert, or not the concert, but inside the city hall there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just didn't even seem necessarily what to do. And the first thing they did is pull out their phones to record, and they're just kind of standing around.
Yeah, they weren't moving too fast.
Yeah, and then once the gunshots got close, they all started running up the stairs and over each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of those things where I was like, man, like, dude, not me, bro. Like, yeah. I'm not stopping to pull up my phone to record. Like, we're hoofing it. Mm-hmm. Like, we're hoofing it the moment I start hearing patterned gunshots.
Mm-hmm.
Patterned pop, 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 pop. And no matter how far away that is, I'm like, all right, well, let's just leave. Let's, okay, is it fireworks? Well, we'll come back.
Right.
But if it's not that, then we will be ahead of the crowd and not get caught up in that. And we'll mm-hmm. be out of here quick.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, with that kind of as, you know, bleed into the next thing, a lot of people are talking about how there's now, after this, a huge anti-migrant sentiment building in Russia. And concern about that and how that will impact people in the area. You know, Russia is touching a lot of other nations, and there's a lot of immigrants in Russia. And so a lot of people kind of concerned of, you know, what will be Russia's response to migrants as a whole,
mm-hmm.
which kind of bleeds into this other next point that I want to talk about with the whole squatters thing here mm-hmm. in the US.
Mm-hmm.
Saw a video of this guy. He's popular on TikTok for some reason. And he is a Venezuelan migrant here, and he calls people comrades in his videos, talks in Spanish. And he had a video of like essentially how to squat in America and mm-hmm. get away with it and abuse the squatters' rights laws mm-hmm. for the sake of like taking people's homes over. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned like it was, you know, I'm just taking the translation at its word, but he was like, yeah, I have my four African brothers who've mm-hmm. already been doing this and they say they've already gotten four houses. And right. I'm just like, dude, what? This is crazy to me that like people like this is just now like occurring in America mm-hmm. where there's this movement to take people's homes by just going in and claiming, yeah, I live here now. Mm-hmm. And like the audacity to yeah. do that here where, you know, it's not happening in like, you know,
China,
the higher. Well, it's, yeah, it's not happening in China, but it's not happening in like the more 2A friendly states.
Oh yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean. Like it's happening in the states where they feel pretty comfortable going into a house mm-hmm. and claiming ownership of it, and you know they're like they're literally scouting out like houses that don't seem to have anyone living in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found that pretty crazy. This guy's like giving instructions on how to steal people's homes, and it was pretty ironic because this woman in New York, she came to her house to get it ready for renters, and she saw that there were people squatting in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so she changed the locks on them.
Mm-hmm.
These people called the New York police, New York City police, and the police arrested the woman
yeah.
for violating squatters' rights and took her to jail.
Good work, boys.
Yeah. And what was funny is like some vigilantes of the neighborhood were like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Like they went to that house and they kicked all the squatters out. Mm-hmm. It just kind of took, and then, you know, it seems to have been nonviolent, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they just kicked them out after that. And so now that lady's got to deal with like, you know, a corrupt justice system that is favoring trespassers and squatters over her as an owner.
Mm-hmm.
But at least now she doesn't have to deal about kicking the squatters out. Like yeah. they got intimidated and left. But this Florida sheriff did a press, recently on March 24th about, essentially the issue of squatters and them like not always picking homes that don't have occupants.
Mm-hmm.
And, he made it very clear. He's like, Florida is a stand your ground state.
Mm-hmm.
You have the right to own a firearm, save the taxpayers money, mm-hmm. shoot these people.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, bro.
He wasn't really mincing words mm-hmm. or pulling punches. He was pretty much like, he said, he was like, here's a list of like, he was given like, we offer classes on how to properly use a firearm.
Yeah.
Learn how to do it so that next time you can save the taxpayers money. It's like, he's given the green light
yeah.
on that stuff, which is
it's pretty crazy.
And it's pretty crazy, and it's a shame that like
that needs to be
it
said.
needs to be said or needs to come to that, right?
Yeah.
Like the fact that it's like, so in both these cases where the woman in New York and then the sheriff in Florida, you have two totally different sides of the pendulum, right?
Mm-hmm.
On these topics, like
especially with law enforcement.
Yeah, with their both law. Yeah, that's like the law enforcement side. One's straight up arresting the lady. The other side's like encouraging, like, you know, like, here's the deal. After
when we show up, there better not be anybody to arrest.
Yeah, it's like,
holy smokes.
Yeah, dude. And so you have the it's going to encourage the behavior in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen more, right? And then also on the flip side, like, there will be, because of those sheriff's words, somebody will lose their life, right? Like from that, like there's no doubt, like,
yeah,
we've all know the Florida man, you know, we know the Florida man was listening to yeah. to that sheriff, and the Florida man is gonna, you know, who knows, he's gonna not wait to pop off, he's not gonna wait to ask questions, right? Where
yeah.
you know, hey, maybe the guy would have left, maybe it was a bum wandered in, like, you know, like, and you have your rights, but at the same time, like, the pendulum so swung to both sides, it's
yeah.
just like, it's insane. And then to have like really no unity or congruent like ruling on any of this like throughout the nation, and then it's surprising. And I always think I'm always dumbfounded by squatters' laws and squatters' rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just like the fact that like really like that made sense when there was a time in the country where like if you were like wandered into somebody's cabin like you could winter out there.
Yeah.
And like you had the right to survive that out with them or whatever. Yeah. Like that was kind of like the more the basis of these things.
Their unoccupied cabin.
Right.
Yeah. And not right. like just walk in and be like, all right, so I'm going to live here for the next six right. months. You got to deal with it.
But also in the same case, like if you also wandered into an occupied cabin, someone might have been like, all right, you got 3 days. Sleep in the side room, right? Mm-hmm. And that would have been like the hospitality extended to you.
Yeah.
And so squatters' rights used to make some sort of sense, I think, in the world we lived in, where like I don't think there's a place for them anymore necessarily. And so, or a good argument to be made about them. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's really encouraging like this vagrancy and unsafe situations for people, as well as like, so someone's going to listen to this guy on TikTok, go try to take a house in Florida, and that dude's not going to.
He's going to have a bad day.
Not going to make it out alive. So it's a rotten situation for that. And I don't know what's going to be done about that, because we're going to see a rise in both sides of these things coming on.
Well, in New York, too, there were these two teenagers. I forgot to link the video here, but these two teenage girls. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they're girls. They have female names. Kelsey and I can't remember the other name, but this was in the news, right? Because the police were like, yeah, we just found a body in a duffel bag in this house because this woman went missing and her son got the property management. Let me back up. So this lady, she comes back from Spain she's an American citizen. Mm-hmm. And she comes back from Spain to prepare this apartment that she owns for a renter. Mm-hmm. She arrives, and apparently what happened is these two girls were squatting there, and they come back, and this is according to like the crime scene investigation, they smashed her face against some drywall, and then they beat her to death, and then they kind of chopped her up and stuffed her in a duffel bag and tried to hide her body, and then they went and took her car, crashed it in Pennsylvania. But because they didn't run the plates right away, they didn't like know this car was from New York and to this woman who was missing.
Mm-hmm.
And so these girls were on the lam for a little bit before they eventually got found and arrested. And the whole reason they found the body bag was because this woman wasn't responding to anything. So her son got the superintendent of the apartment to let him in. And that's when they found the duffel bag and her inside, which is just like insanely awful as a son to find your mother that way. These are teenage girls. They were 19 and 18. And they, you know, they murdered the rightful owner of this property for operating completely legally, just getting it ready for a real tenant. And they murdered her, and not just murdered her, but like viciously, like, you know, immorally decided, okay, the next step is to like cover this up and get rid of the body.
Right.
And like no remorse. And so to me, it's very like, I just have no room when I see this kind of thing, this trend of behavior, to like empathize with the squatters, you know, like this, all of this kind of stacked together of like, you know, a woman being arrested for trying to change the locks. She didn't even like do anything violent. She didn't threaten them. She just changed the locks on her house. She gets arrested by the police for doing that. This Venezuelan migrant guy's giving instructions of how to take people's homes. And then these teenagers straight up murdering the rightful owner because they didn't want to have to go find a new place and do it, you know, rightful, like right and pay rent and on a lease. Right. And so all that, like I'm losing a lot of sympathy for squatter rights here. Right. And I am definitely like leaning on the side of this Florida sheriff of like, yeah, dude, like you can't take that risk. Because we're seeing a pattern of willingness to do harm to you if you're going to try to kick them out. And that kind of, you know, the next like thing that is just also in New York that is crazy. People being dismembered in New York. You guys got to be careful. Okay. I got a brother-in-law in New York right now and I'm just worried about him a little bit. Cause I'm like, dude, you need to be careful. Four people were arrested after they were, you know, essentially the police were led to believe that they were responsible for, they haven't said the murder yet, but the disposal of dismembered body parts across Long Island. There was literally a picture from this article in the New York Times where it shows this dude's arm just in a pile of sticks where they just tossed his arm in. And the police found him, arrested him, and the DA was trying to prosecute them, saying, like, you know, this shows no remorse, no care for the dead. And they were butchering these people up. At least they were butchering the remains up without, like, any care for, you know, consequences, and trying to do the right thing and notify authorities these people had died.
It's well beyond hot-blooded murder.
Yeah.
You know, it falls into some deep, dark darkness.
Well, but the judge let them off with no bail. They got released on no bail. And so now, like, you know, in Tim Pool and his team did like a whole video breakdown of this, but Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks also said, you know, she was fed up with it because we heard this back in, you know, 2021 when New York was like, we're going to do a no bail for nonviolent crimes.
And she's a crazy person.
She's a crazy person.
You know, like,
she's pretty left leaning. I think she's becoming more and more like fed up and based. But she, they were talking about how, like, it starts with the nonviolent crime having no bail, and now dismembering a body is a release without bail
crime.
Like, crime. Like, you could do that, and you're not gonna have to pay bail, and you're not gonna be held in jail. You get to just walk around free afterwards.
That is crazy.
That is
that is beyond crazy.
Like, dude, the fact, like, I can't even put myself in the headspace where I'd be in a situation where I'd be dismembering a body, but the fact that I could do it in New York, and like, they're like, all right, well, I mean, don't do it again. You're free to go.
Like, it's crazy too. Like, so, like, let's say, like,
what?
I'd be, if I had to pick, let's say this in some horrible world, I had to pick, like, someone who is crime of passion murdered somebody versus somebody else who we don't know if they murdered that person or not, dismembered them, I would pick the crime of passion murderer to be on the no bail versus the dismember. I don't agree with that either, but I'm saying, like, that's so far over. That's so far.
Yeah, that takes way more of a mental hurdle.
And it's so far gone for the legal system, justice. Should we call the justice system?
It's not.
Should
justice.
They have the word justice?
The injustice.
I mean,
system.
My gosh almighty. Like, that is. I don't know.
Well, and I think the thing that disturbs me is, again, like, this is a group. Just like we had a group of terrorists in Russia that were mentally complicit and okay with what they were going to do and kill and harm people. We have a group of four people who are all on board and for dismembering this couple. And like this New York Post article shows a picture of this couple, and they look just like average, everyday
Walmart people.
And it's not entirely clear if it was squatting related, but it seems like it might have been, because they were residents of a Long Island home, and it's hard to tell, like, why would these four people murder them and dismember the body and spread the body parts around Long Island? And like, what could have been the reasoning that these four people were all around? Because when you see this couple, they don't strike you as like the elite of Long Island,
right?
You know, so you're just like, what was the motivation here? And I think it's, oh yeah, we get rid of them, we live in their house, and we're good. And that happened actually not too long ago, where two people in LA like went into this old elderly guy's home, really wealthy mansion, and they just told him, like, we live here now, and if you try to do anything, tell the authorities or whatever, like, we'll kill you. And they ended up, after the guy died, hiding his body. And now the woman who was behind it and tried to, like, inherit the real estate via having lived there for like 10 years or whatever, she's now going to jail for like 20 years. And she just got sentenced pretty recently. But it's like one of those things of like, this happens. This has happened before. It's not too far to assume like that's what their plan was. Like, we'll kill this couple. We'll claim we've been living in their house while they're gone. Don't know where they are. And then we get to kind of have this real estate in New York that is in our name. And it's absolute madness to me. So anyways, moving on to the last kind of thing I wanted to touch on this week. is this video that was coming out of illegal immigrants storming a razor wire fence in Texas. And the Texas National Guard, you could see, is like trying to keep them back and from running over the fence. And there's like a couple guys that just have their phones out. I'm like, bro, you need to have your gun out. And you need to have that. Like, I'm not saying you need to be shooting these people, mm-hmm. but you do need to have your firearm in your hand. So that way, at least when they break through this fence and overwhelm you, mm-hmm. they can't take that from you. You know, you need to look like you're prepared mm-hmm. to respond to violence, right? And a couple of these guard guys are just like phones out recording what's happening. And then the fence goes down and, you know, several hundred migrants just overwhelm them and start running up to the next fence. Mm-hmm. Where apparently, I guess the next fence was actual Border Patrol that was securing that one.
Right. Cause that was also, it was like a chain link razor wire fence mm-hmm. With a buffer, and then the big border wall fence. What's scary too is those guard guys got locked in there.
Yeah. Like, it's like, survive, motherfucker.
Yeah, dude. Like he was straight up like,
you're yon yon.
Yeah. They got locked in there with the mob, man.
Yeah, dude. It's bonkers to me that like, that's happening, you know, down below. And like, I look at that and a lot of people are drawing comparisons between like, we need to secure the border, not necessarily with the same policy, but we need to secure it to the level that Egypt has with Gaza. I've been seeing a lot of people making comparisons. If you look at the Egypt border wall with Gaza, or, you know, you could say Israel, because I think that's how Egypt defines that wall. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty intense wall with like rows of razor wire on it. So like even if you start climbing it, you got to get vertically over razor wall before you even get to the top of the fence. And Egypt for a long time has had a standing shoot to kill order on anyone they see as an illegal immigrant attempting to cross the border. It doesn't even matter if they're trying to get into Egypt. It's just if they see anyone trying to cross into the Israel Gaza side or the Egypt side, it's a shoot to kill order, not a shoot to stop, which back in 2010, there was an article written that went into how they had killed 14 Africans that year attempting to cross into Israel. And like, Egypt has a very clear history here of like, you try to get through this border wall, you will be shot.
Yeah.
The one
difficult, just a quick thing there.
Sure.
That wall, that border, 12 kilometers.
Yeah, way less.
And then the American southern border, 3,145 kilometers.
Yeah, but you got to start somewhere. I know.
I'm just saying. A little bit of perspective on that one. But
it's one of those things, though, where I'm like, I don't believe we need a shoot to kill order on the border. Right. But it is one of those things of like, people need to think, we need to, in order to especially deter people with malicious intent, they need to believe that crossing the border is not just dangerous to the cartel, but it's dangerous because like, America will enforce the border policy,
enforce the laws.
Yeah And we just don't have that right now, which is why everyone has the cojones to storm.
Right.
On that too, you know, a lot of people are drawing attention to like, going back to earlier with like the non-citizens that did the terror attack in Russia. In 2024 so far, we've caught in 49 people on the terror watch list attempting to cross into the U.S. border illegally, and 169 in 2023, for a total of 342 since 2017. So if you do the math on that, over half of that since 2017 of the people on the terror watch list that we caught were in 2023 alone. And then another 49 so far in just 2024. So it's like, it's not a myth. Like, this is happening. There are terrorist enemies to America who want to hurt Americans attempting to cross. And that's just who we get, not who manages to get across. And there's been articles also on like how hard it was for ICE to get permission to arrest and interrogate and then export people on the terror watch list who had made it into America illegally and were just walking around scot-free, able to do whatever they wanted with no accountability. And they had to make these cases to the federal government to get the permission to go after these people. And so like this is occurring here right now. And this is why, like, I'm trying to make sure people, like, I'm not saying, like, live in fear. What I am saying is don't be the people who think, oh, that just won't happen. Mm-hmm. That just won't happen. It's like, it won't happen if we have well-informed policies that are being enforced by the powers that be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when that fails, there's nothing stopping them from getting to your community and doing harm. And actually, there's more things getting in the way of the powers that be from enforcing it once they get in. It's a lot harder to get them out once they get in here than it is to just catch them at the border and turn them away. And the last one here is this, I like thing of, like, you know, the National Guard have been deployed on the New York subway. Again, New York is just struggling. But they've been deployed to do bag checks, which makes me think, okay, there must have been a valid threat of, like, a bomb or something like that to warrant this. But according to everything that's going on, it's just because of subway crime in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what, like, bag checks are going to do to deter subway assaults. Because apparently subway assaults in 2023 were the highest they've been since 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been an 11% rise already in 2024. So it's like, it's only going up. But I'm also saying this, I'm like, is that the New York National Guard or is that the Federal National Guard?
Right.
Because if it's New York, great. That's within New York's, you know, rights to have the New York National Guard mobilized for what they see as a threat. But if it's the federal, like, level of the National Guard, then, like, why are they in New York and not being mobilized to the border? To, like, you know what I mean? Where, like, there's definitely quite a bit of a threat here.
Right.
And if the police, I think, were allowed to enforce the laws in New York, why couldn't the police be doing this instead of, you know, men, you know, National Guardsmen in full camo fatigues and, you know, plate carriers and, you know, the scary AR-15 or whatever. And so it's just one of those things that I see. I'm just like, this is whack to me that this is, you know, we don't want to throw them to the border, but we'll have them in our own, you know, personal transportation system. So anyways, that's kind of on that last note with the legal immigrant news and stuff that's been going in and, like, the crossings that we've had. Like, that's kind of the last stories that I wanted to draw attention to with what's going on.
Yeah, because the like you're saying, there are lots of people coming in to, it's not just people from South America. There's lots of people flying in or boating into friendly countries, you know, things like Iranians coming in from to Venezuela, because you can you can travel to there and then coming up through the Darien Gap and then traveling into America that way. Tons of lots of Chinese who can fly into Mexico City, and then lots of Chinese coming up through. Chinese actually burning their papers on the way up and then coming in, and then the Chinese embassies in America have a new policy where any of their citizens who've lost their papers, it's very easy for them to get all their documents. So it's so basically very easy for anybody, but also for, well, I should say, you know, it's easy for you know, intelligence agency people like that to come fly to Mexico City, come up through, burn their papers coming through, get into America, and then hit an embassy, reestablish themselves, new identity, you know. So, like, it goes beyond just the you know, yes, you know, millions of people coming across the border for one is a problem for us to, we don't have housing for these people, for all these people, don't have jobs for all these people, we don't have infrastructure for all these people, right? And these are people who are, like, lots of those people in their heart, honestly, asylum seekers who just aren't going about it the right way, or, like, how they feel about it is, like, they're, you know, seeking a refuge in America. But then you have a lot of people who are abusing the system even further, who are nefarious coming through, as this is just an open portal for people to come through. And so it's the border crisis is a crisis on a lot of different levels. One, huge humanitarian issue there. Two, a huge just American security issue that we're facing. And so I don't know how they'll deal with it or figure out what to do with it. That's, the deed's already kind of been done, as far as, you know, going back to the, tying into the first story we covered with, you know, organized terrorist groups in your country. You know, they have, it makes it sound like a crazy person to just say like they're here and they're planning stuff.
They've been here, you know, though, too, right. For like, they, if anyone thinks that they haven't been here for the last 20 years,
right?
Well, you're wrong. They have.
Right.
It's just that they've probably not had the flexibility and the amount of them as there has been growing over the last couple of years.
Right. And so it's not even like a fear mongering thing as much as a look at the data, look at the facts, look at the fact that there are entire nations and leaders of those nations who declare death to America.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's a slogan for like a lot of big countries where it's like,
death to America.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, whoa, like that's like, if we had any of our leaders spouting off any of that, like
death to anything,
like,
yeah.
Holy smokes. Like, no way, man. So,
yeah. And one thing too that I just thought was crazy is like, you know, Trump was getting, whatever your feelings on Trump, you know, this is just how his relations with Mexico and the border was kind of different than Biden, the Biden admin. But Trump was like threatening sanctions on Mexico and for like import export into the U.S. and such if they didn't cooperate in helping secure the border. Those sanctions aren't being held right now, and they aren't the same threats. And the Biden admin in the last week asked Mexico for assistance in securing the border, and the Mexican president himself said, no, we won't be doing that because I have a Mexico first policy that I'm following here. And it's just like, dude just took it out of Trump's playbook. It was like, nah. And it's like, and the only reason that they are taking that stance as a government is because they see us as like weak.
Right.
Like there's nothing to back up our request of assistance at the border if we don't, you know, ante up and kick in and ask them to, hey, not ask them, but tell them like, you will be helping to secure this and stem the flow of this. Otherwise there will be severe economic impact to, you know, your industry in regards to like how you work and deal with America. And I think like, dude, that's what we need, bro. We need, if we're not gonna, in order to get this thing stemmed and under control, we need to start like holding accountable the people who also control that border.
Right.
And enforce their policy. Cause I'll tell you what, bro, like I've been to Mexico a lot, traveling over that border in a van and, they enforce it on their side a whole hell of a lot more than we do on ours.
Like, right.
I can't tell you how many times our van was literally at gunpoint crossing the border into like Tijuana, going down to Ensenada. And dude, the amount of military Humvees with fully automatic heavy machine guns on the back, grenade launchers.
Right.
And they would just stop you at the checkpoint, double check, make sure you got all your documents and papers. And it's just like one of those things. I'm like, that don't happen here. You know,
it definitely. And one of the bigger questions here that I don't know if it's even like being addressed is like, why are all these people fleeing?
Sure.
You know, like, so an entire continent, we got seven of them, right? Six with people. Basically, what's the deal with an entire continent like seemingly being in and then like a third of another continent being Central America and then South America? What's going on there that like, you know, is there not enough resources, food, land, you know, there like for people to live, you know? And I think, you know, there's a lot of the like gotta clean up your trash in your backyard type stuff going on with government corruption, things like that. There are, then there's huge conversations that we had around also like effects of you know, global colonialism, things like that as well. But like, you know, it's just always astounding to me that so many people are having to leave to come here.
They believe there's the opportunity here, right? And I guess short term there is, you know, if you cross the border illegally today, if you're an illegal immigrant, then you get free travel, you get a debit card with $3,000 on it, and you don't have to pay taxes. You get to just kind of work under the table at a cheaper rate for a while.
Healthcare.
But you're going to always remain until you become legitimate. You're going to remain, unless you do something criminally, you're going to remain in one of the lowest economic classes in this country. And you're not going to get that dream. And to the people who are doing it and like, well, if my kids are born here, they're mm-hmm. citizens. Okay. I mean, I get that. And I would do the same thing, right?
Right.
In their shoes, I would do the same thing. But like, I do think that there will be a rude awakening for the 10 million or so who have crossed already in the mm-hmm. coming years of like, regardless politically, whatever happens is like that class of people, legal immigrants, never really come out of the lower like economic class.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they either have to go about trying to do it legitimately and face the consequences of being an illegal immigrant that entered illegally. Mm-hmm. And possibly being deported, right?
Right.
Or they have to continue to be shady under the table with how they make a living. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I don't have a solution to that. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's just one of those things of like, I wish they knew, like, you will not have the opportunity that you think you do.
Right. Right. And like the fact that like, I think a lot of people honestly believe that like the border is wide open. Like,
yeah.
And that you are, like, and the fact that, you know, it's really not, there's, for all this, there is also tons of camps of people. There's tons of people, like, you know, who can't get through or come the wrong way or whatever. And so it's like, or who pay the wrong guy all their life savings to get across the desert mm-hmm. and they get taken advantage of. And it's like I think that you know, that lots of these individuals like believe that, you know, when they start their trek up from Guatemala, that like, that is the way to do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the way they've heard is okay, you know. And so and our politicians really kind of don't make it clear that it's not, you know, not the yeah. way.
Well, I guess, you know, Kamala Harris did her thing where she's like, do not come.
Yep. After.
And then it did it like, okay, what did, well, you could say that, but if you don't enforce it, it don't right. mean jack shit.
Right.
Yeah. Anyways. Well, hey, Ken, thanks for joining us again. Just a reminder. Subscribe, like, comment, leave us a rating on the podcast stuff as we continue to grow. We appreciate all of you. We've been recently, you know, as we've been focusing more on kind of the political news, we've been getting hit with, you know, demonetization and things like that on YouTube, you know, refusing to do advertisement for our videos. So everything that you do of like leaving a comment and all that definitely helps us. And you can see it. You can see the videos that YouTube doesn't shut down and the views on them, mm-hmm. the likes on them. And then you could definitely see the ones that YouTube shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do not get in remotely as much traffic as our other ones.
Those are the ones you want to be listening to.
And so all that said, we appreciate you. Hope you enjoyed this. And Pat, you got anything left you want to say?
Yeah, I think, you know, I say a lot of times when we're closing out like shows like this too, where we covered a lot of dark, gross things, covered a lot of some graphic death, some mass death, some, you know, major problems that our country's facing. And, you know, these are all things we got to know about and we have to pay attention to. But they are things that, like, at the same time, can't let it rule your world. Mm. Can't become the, you know, we all have that, like, uncle or whatever, who's just, like, constantly... like the only thing coming in their brain and heart all the time is like a singular news network,
mm-hmm.
right? Not even getting both sides of the story, whatever yeah. the side is, you know. And just like, and I feel like I see a lot of people like that. You're super anxious, like super like hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
And Mick and Pat aren't hopeless. We are doing pretty good.
I'll be honest. This is the easiest my life's ever been, but that's also, I understand what I've done to, you know, get that security for myself, you know.
Right.
And even though my life is easy right now, mm-hmm. I definitely think these are things that have an impact on my local little society.
And definitely.
I want my little local town, regardless of whoever lives here and whatever their beliefs are, mm-hmm. I want them to be informed and I want them to be safe. And I think knowing about what's going on in the world, like this stuff, and being informed about it helps make those informed decisions to remain safe.
Definitely. I agree. Well, thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back again next week. Thanks for tuning in. If you love this episode, drop us a review. If you have qualms or comments, leave us a voicemail on our website. While you're there, check out our latest news, merch, and deals from our sponsors. Till next time, Ken.